So it's a good day today, and you know, it's funny, when I got a message, my husband and I had been really pondering some issues, things that had happened to us, things people had been saying to us. You know, we're pastors, we hear a lot. We hear a lot of sadness, we hear a lot of good, we hear a lot of things. And it's not like you just get to go home and be like, okay, my job's over, I'm done. No, you kind of go home and be like, oh God, that was heavy today, or that was a lot for me to carry. And we carry what you guys go through. And so we began to talk about somebody who was very dear and personal to us. And there were things going on in this person's life. And I started to get confused about some of the things that were coming out of their mouth. Because they were telling me they were a Christian, but yet what they were saying and the way they were acting was completely opposite of what we had been taught here at The Rock and what we have known as supposedly being Christians. And I was just telling my husband, why is it so hard to serve God? Why do people make it so hard? It's not that hard. And he, and Dan's like, I don't know, honey, it's like 11 o'clock at night. Can we go to bed, you know? So here I am having this moment, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, let's talk. And he just started telling me, get your phone out and start writing it down, because these are going to be your next message. And he began to give me a list of things, why people make excuses to serve him, why it's hard to serve him, maybe why you struggle in and out of your walk with the Lord. Maybe you find yourself all gung-ho, yes, I love God, and then the next day, you're kind of like, oh, I just don't really feel like serving God today, or yeah, well, that person came back into my life, and you know, ever since that happened, I'm kind of distant from the things of God. And then he began to speak to me, and he said, now, why is it so easy for you to serve me? And so I have a list. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some things as why it's hard. And you may be thinking about yourself during this. You may be thinking about family members, people you're having conversations with. You may be thinking about people that you've been trying to witness to, and you're just wondering, why don't they want what I have? It's so amazing. I want you to look at this, but first and foremost, before you start looking at everybody else around you, I want you to look at you. Because it is so easy for the devil to come in and take our joy and take our salvation and take those things from us. He's sneaky. He's a snake. Eleanor always goes, he's a slithery, slippery snake. I love how she says that. And it's true. He's slithery and he's slippery and he's sneaky and he's manipulative. And if it's just something little and you just ignore it, and something little and you ignore it, and all of a sudden you will stand there going, wait a second, I thought I was serving God. I thought I was, you know, somebody who loved the Lord. And so today we're going to look at that. You guys ready? You got your pens and paper? You got your Bible out? Let's go before the throne. Dear Father God, we love you today. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us, that you would teach us, that you would mold us as your women. That, Lord, that you would create in us a new heart, God, today. Lord, that you would strengthen our heart, that you would equip us, God, with your word and with the points that you've given, Lord, that you would stir us and you would shake us and show us how to pray and to change today, Lord. We are here. We are your vessels. We are your daughters, Lord. Fill us. And, Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to move this because my mom is so cute. She has too much stuff. I'm not my mom, so I'm my dad. Honestly, I'm simplistic. I like simple things. Okay. I know. She's so funny, huh? She'd have like 5 tables here and she'd decorate them all while she was preaching. So we're going to get into this. All right. This is called serving God or not. You know, many times we think we're serving God, right? We think we're on that road to, yeah, I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. But then you can always look at someone else, maybe even around your table, and go, well, why does she get all the blessing? Why are things happening for her? Nothing's happening for me. Why does she make everything seem so easy? And it's really not so easy. You know, you could look at Pastor Dan and I, and I'm going to use me as an example. You could look at our lives and go, oh, they have a nice house, they have beautiful children, they'll never do anything wrong. Please, that's not true. And they have a beautiful marriage, and da-da-da-da. You could look at me and you could judge me off that. But before you start pointing the finger and saying, oh, she just has everything, look at my past. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at those things that I have come through with God. And God has brought me through my sin. God has brought me through those things, those battles, those tragedies. There are things that we have gone through. And we're where we're at today because we've stayed faithful, we've stayed consistent, and we serve the Lord with all of our heart. So don't look at me today and think, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. I am the all-time number one sinner of all sinners. You always hear about those pastor's kids. Yeah, well, I was that pastor's kid. Oh, on them pastor's kids. That was me. I was that pastor's kid. So if you say it to me, I'll knock you out because I hate it. Yolandi, don't you hate that? I do. I hate it. So don't say it to my kids, okay? Because we already live in a fishbowl. And so that was always me. Oh, that pastor, look at her. Look what she's doing. You know what she's doing. Oh, her parents probably don't even know. No, they knew. But they were working through it. They were working me through it. They were praying me through it. They were walking me through it, just like you have to with your kids. And just like God has to with you. You see, this is a journey of faith. This is a journey that you're not going to be perfect and go right into the kingdom right away. So don't beat yourself up. But I want us to look at some things. Why do we find it so hard to serve God? Why does your family members find it so hard to serve God? Why is your neighbor so hard to get saved? Why does that person that you keep asking to come to church make an excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse? Why? Don't they know? Don't they know how good God is? Maybe they don't. Reality is maybe they just don't. So point number one, some people want their cake and they want to eat it too. That means most of the world says they're saved. Do you know that 95%, I just looked this up last night, 95% of Americans say they're Christians and they believe in God. That's ridiculous. Because I'd say 95% on TV are embarrassing when they talk about God. There are things that they say that I'm like, no, don't say that. That's not true. They want their cake and eat it too. They believe that there's a God, but they don't know who he is. So then they go and do whatever they want to do, but then, oh, but I'm going to heaven. And sometimes they'll throw his name out there. Well, you know, God did that for you. You know, they know how to talk the right talk when they're with the right people. Is that you? When you come to Girlfriends, are you a good Christianese talker? Do you know how to say the right things and then you go home and you're cussing out your kids? I mean, we can laugh about it, but it's true. Look at yourself first, remember. How about, you know, they want their cake, they eat it too. Oh, I'm fine. I'm in church. I went forward. I got saved. And then they never really followed it up. They never really did anything. But they come to church on Sunday, you know, that token Sunday. Jesus saw me sitting in that seat in the third row on the fifth seat in. No. Listen, this is not about works. This is not about if you come to church. This is not about that. This is about a relationship with the Lord. And you can't have your cake and eat it too with God. God says you're either in or you're out. It's all or nothing with him. You're either hot or you're cold. In Revelation 3:16 in the New King James Version, it says, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You riding that fence today? You come into church and you're hearing about, hey, it's a sin to have sex outside of marriage, but you're going home and living with that boyfriend. You refuse to give him up because, oh, I love God, but I love him too. You see, God is saying, you cannot have your cake and eat it with me. It's either in or out. In Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Careful. What's coming your way? Usually with God, you can't have the world and God. You only can have God. That should be your first sign. Number two, they're prideful. Now, all of us just went, men, my husband, he's so prideful. No, listen, girls, you're prideful in different ways. You're prideful in insecurity. Do you know insecurity is actually a sign of pride? Arrogance. Maybe you just, oh, I know. Oh, I know. Oh, she didn't do that the right way, or she didn't do that the right, arrogant. You see, pride will keep us from what God wants. Pride keeps us because we think we're okay. This is what I was hearing from the certain individual in my world. I'm good. No, I'm in church. Yeah, I'm good. No, everything's great. on the side, I know what they're doing. Buying drugs. Listen, you're not fooling anyone. God sees all, he hears all, he knows all. Your pride can get in the way and it will stop you with a relationship with the Lord. And then you go, why are these people blessed? Why is it so hard for me to serve God? Well, maybe you're in the way. Your pride needs to be broken down and cut off. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Have you ever, like, it's so funny. I remember watching sports games and I was in softball. And I remember the other team would always be like, oh, yeah, we're going to win. You guys stink. Da, da, da. You know, we'd always talk trash to each other. And I remember I was almost scared to be like, no, we're going to win. Da, 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 because I knew what the verse said, that pride comes before the fall. And I was like, I don't want to be all like, you know, we're the best. And then we fail. Like we, you know, like I probably would do that. Like it's a curse, you know. And I just always remember thinking, don't be so confident in everything. Because before that, don't be prideful in it. Because there's a fall coming your way. Because pride is relying on yourself to get things done. Pride is not relying on God. Pride is relying on yourself to get things done. Point number three, they really don't love God. Now they say they love God. They come to church. They go through the motions. They'll pray with you sometimes. Maybe this is you. But they don't really love God because, see, it's just this simple. God goes deep for those that go deep, and then he goes really simple for those that go simple. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, period. I don't know why that's so deep for some people, but it's that simple. How many times have I talked to my son and I said, Micah, don't do that. Micah, don't do that. Micah, don't do that. Micah, don't. And then I get on. Did you hear me, Micah? Huh? It's like us with God. He's going, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Hear him once and do what he asks. It's not that hard when you love him. When you don't love God, it's hard. Because when you love somebody with everything in you, you're motivated to do things for them outside of yourself. I would go to the moon and back for my husband. If something that he needed or that he wanted, I would find every way in the world to make it happen for him and to, like, do it with like a bow on the top and candy and everything else. I mean, I would just want to lavish him because I love him. That's how God is with us. But if you love God, then why are you still allowing sin to rule your world? Don't say you love him. Because if you love him, he says you'll keep his commandments. And the verse for that is 1 John 5:3-4. For this love is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. So many times I hear, oh, it's just so hard to serve God. I mean, guy, I just have to give up everything. Well, if everything is like bringing you to hell, then yeah, that would probably be good. So, you know, to serve God is not burdensome. Here it says in the Bible, it is not burdensome. I can't even say the word, okay? I'm not going to act like I can. Burdensome. If it's not, then why do we make it such a big deal? Why do we make everything that God asks us to do such a big deal? Oh, God, I think I heard God ask me to do this for this person. It's really now I got to get there. And you know, I'm one, I grumble when I'm trying to get outside of myself. I grumble. Am I a grumbler? Ask my best friend, do I grumble? Yes, I grumble. She said to me the other day, you're grumbling to try and bring someone to church? I'm like, yes, I am. I was irritated that they don't come. So, listen. Enough's enough. It's not a burdensome thing. Should I change the word? It is not hard. If we love God. Okay? Stinking Bible. Make it easier. Okay. And the last one is maybe you've gone through a tragedy. Maybe the person in your world has gone through a tragedy. Maybe they've lost a child. Maybe divorce has come into the picture and it's ransacked their heart. Maybe somebody died very close to them, like a family member or a relative. And what do they always do? Well, why, God? why. I'll tell you right now, he's never going to ask. He's never, ever, ever going to answer why. Because he is not the one that brings tragedy. He is not the one that pours out hell on us. But he is the one that if we grab a hold of him in that tragedy, he will carry you through it. He will strengthen you through it. He will mold you through it. And he will restore back everything the enemy has taken. Everything. So, maybe those are some of the excuses and the reasons. Now look at Job 2, 9, and 10. I don't know anybody else in the Bible that went through as much as Job did. Maybe Paul. Paul went through a lot, but not as much as Job. Job lost everything. Satan asked to sift him. God knew he wouldn't give up on him. So adversity came into Job's life, and what did he do? He had a chance to curse God. He had a chance to go, "You allowed this to happen, God. You allowed it." But he didn't. He kept his heart right before the Lord, and he said, "No, I'm not going there." Oh, but us women, sometimes us girls. His wife says, Job 2, 9 and 10, "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity after hell has hit him? Curse God and die.'" I mean, he's looking crazy for not cursing God and dying at this point. She's like, "It is so bad, you might as well roll over and die. And tell him, forget you, God." And this is how Job responds to her. But he said to her in verse 10, "You speak as one foolish woman speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. You see, when you love God, you know that. But when you don't know who he is and you're fighting to serve him, you don't know that. So tragedy pulls you away from God. Tragedy pulls you away. There was an instance with some people in my world, and it was a heartbreaking experience that happened to them. And one of them made it through because of God. She held steadfast to what the word said. She held on to healing and strength, and she filled herself up with the word. And he didn't. Her husband didn't. He kind of sunk back and said, "No, I'm good. I'm good. Everything's good. No, I'm fine. She's fine. I'm fine." Kind of like wrote it off. And I'm telling you, years later, it's affecting him. Years later, because he never dealt with the tragedy and did it with God. He did it on his own, and he never allowed for healing to work. And now he's facing this on his own by himself. Now listen, there's a flip side to all this. There's good news in all of this. So these are the things why people, some of the excuses we hear, why people don't want to serve God. But here is why it is so easy to serve God. And now I want to hear some shouts. I want to know that when I say these points that you guys have experienced what you have heard, so that those of you in this room that go, "I don't know who this God is. I don't want to be there. I don't know who I am." I want you to hear the testimony of the goodness of God. Point number one, why it's so easy to serve God. Because when we're free from sin, you don't want to go back. My life was horrible. I sinned. I'm sure all of you know my story still. You know, I've been date raped, I've been abused, I've had an abortion, all the horrible, horrible things that stupid me went through. But listen, my sin was hell, and I lived in hell all alone. I didn't tell anybody about what was going on with me. But listen to me, there was a Savior. He reached down and he picked me right up out of hell, and he said, "No, I'm not letting you go." And he restored me back to hell. And I was free from my sin once and for all. And let me tell you something. I look at that world, and I know when those things are happening to women because it's a familiar spirit. And I know it, and I recognize it, and I'm like, I know what you're struggling with. I used to work with the young adults, and they'd come up to me and start talking to me about things. And I'd be like, I remember one time this girl, she was getting beat up. And I remember her lying to me. "I'm all, you getting beat up?" "No. No. Shaking. No. No. And I'm like, you don't have to live like this. Here he is looking at me, the guy, glaring at me. And I'm like, you can come over here and I can ask you if you beat her up. Because I know the spirit. I know that familiar spirit. I don't put up with it. It is not something I entertain. It is not something that I give into. It is not something that is okay. It is not. And when you're free from it, it no longer can come back in and consume you. When you're free from it, you can recognize it and kick it right back out. That's what Dion just did. It was something Dion was burdened with. And Dion said, no, 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 I was healed. Is she going to kick it right back or is she going to praise her way through it? Listen, when you have been set free from sin, you do not want to go back. If you do, I do question, are you really saved? Because here's a God who restored you, who reconciled, who pulled you out of hell. Is that not good enough for him? Come on! But yeah, you want to run back to sin? God gives you a mansion on a hill, and there's a shack at the bottom of the hill. You've been living in the shack. God says, come up to the mansion. It's yours. I'll move out. It's all yours. Bring your husband. Bring your kids. I'll fill the fridge for you. I'll make the beds for you with the finest linens. I'll give you HDTV. 3D TV. Whatever is new on the market. Everything is stocked for you. You walk into the house and you think, oh, this is so beautiful. Of course I want it. Of course I want to live here. Oh my gosh, it's a mansion, Lord, just for me? He says, yes. You're my daughter. Why would I not want to do this for you? You've been living in a shack. You've been living in sin and hell, but I saved you out of hell, and this is what I have for you. You walk in, and all of a sudden, you get a phone call from your girlfriend. Oh, you will never believe what happened to me, girl. And she starts talking about so-and-so, did something to so-and-so. Oh, well, I'll be right there. You go back down to the shack. You start hanging out with the people at the shack again. You start getting in that world again and mixing up with the world. You know what's sad about that? Your family's still at the mansion. You have put yourself back in a situation of sin, and now they're reaping your sin. I'm sorry, this is not the love bug message. But the reality of it is your choices affect the people around you. And if you have been free from sin, why the hell would you want to go back? She cussed in church. Listen, it's a place. If you don't know God, you'll see it. I'm not messing around here. If the world can be loud about their stuff, let me be loud about what God says. Enough. Get out of the shack. You guys grew up in San Bernardino. Cheapest, smallest city in the world. Why do you got to stay there? Where's your mentality? How were you raised? You could never have anything. You're not good enough. These are lies from the pit of hell. And let me tell you something. One day, you're getting food from us, and one day, you're going to be providing the food for other people. You've got to start dreaming bigger. Don't leave the mansion. Don't leave the mansion. Once you left sin, get away from it and run. Do not go back to your shack. John 8:36. So, if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. If you are truly free, act like it. I love that song. Thank you for freedom. You see me like going crazy every time that song is sung. You know why? Because I am free. I was on my way to hell. I don't deserve my husband Dan or children. They told me I should never have children after an abortion. Do you know what I went through when Dan wanted to have kids? You want to tell me the enemy wasn't racking my brain? You can't get pregnant. This is why it's taking you so long. You're never going to be able to have children. And I'll never forget my mama I was in her kitchen, and she said, "You're struggling with the enemy's lying to you about having a baby." And I just went, "My sin, and I know there's consequences to my sin, and it's okay, I messed up." And my mom's like, "No, let's pray." And I got pregnant that next day. I was pregnant. And listen, whatever the enemy is lying to you about, send that thought back to hell and stand firm on what you know. Stand firm on what you know. Number two, why is it so easy to serve God? When you've experienced God's goodness, nothing else compares. I don't know about you, but when I stepped into that mansion with the Lord, I was like, "Ooh, this is good. I don't want that shack. I got new carpet. I got beautiful windows with pretty flowers on the outside of them, not dead ones that I killed. I got window coverings that only people could dream about. I'm in a mansion with my king, and he has given me everything that he thinks is good for me, which means that it's even better than what I could want for myself." When you have God's goodness and you've tasted it, you don't want to go back because nothing compares. There's nothing this world can give you. This world cannot give you money. It cannot give you cars. It cannot give you homes. It cannot give you anything like God can give it to you. If you were believing God for something and you're standing in faith for it, standing in faith for it, and then something supernaturally happens, you just know that every step that you took was ordained by the Lord. I'm going to tell you a story because I'm in a faith walk from my house. We were living in a cute little house, Dan and I's first home, and I loved it. We were comfortable. Watch out. When you're comfortable, God shakes your tree. So we were comfortable. We could make the bills. We liked it. We had our cute little nursery for our daughter. I mean, it was like wonderful to me. And the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, and he said, "I want you to start looking for a new house." I'm like, "Why? I don't need a new house. I don't have the money for a new house." All the excuses, right? Like us girls do. And he says, "Would you just do what I asked?" So we start looking, we start looking. And when we came back from Rhema, we drove through this complex. And they were building these new homes. And my husband goes, "Oh, aren't these just so beautiful? We would never live in a house like this." I mean, he was just like, "Oh my gosh, this would be a dream to ever live in a house like this. Like, there's just no way ever." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, I agree with you. I just, oh my gosh, we'd never be able to afford this." So when I heard that we had to go look for a house, the first place I wanted to go to was that complex. Because, you know, I'm faith woman. So I'm like telling my realtor, "Can you show us a house in that area, in that complex?" She says, "Sure." So she shows us this house. And I loved it. Oh, it had all the upgrades. You know, of course they show you the model, like, woo, all the upgrades. And I'm like, "Oh, this is it." And then she starts showing us other stuff. Now, this is when it was booming. You know, like a house would go and you'd be like, "No, I have to have it." You know, and you'd like grab it and it was way too expensive. So it was during that time. She shows us these other houses. And they're just junk. I mean, same price, but junk. I'd have to do the whole thing over again. And I just did the old one over again, the one I'm living in. So I don't want to redo anything. And I'm like, this is not working out, God. Like, I'm like, this is not my idea of what's good. And so we just said, "Well, whatever, squash the idea because we don't need to move. We're happy. We're good." And the Lord spoke to me again. "What do you mean you're good? I told you that after the first of the year, you're supposed to get into a new house." I'm like, "I don't want to." And he goes, "Don't you trust me? Don't you know my goodness yet?" Okay, God. So you got to convince this guy over here, my husband, because he ain't in faith for it. So I'll never forget, we were laying down taking a nap. I think it was between services on Sunday. And I'm never really sleeping. He is. He's like snoring. And he wakes up out of his sleep and he's like, "I've got it. We're going to keep this house and we're going to buy one over there too." And I'm like, "Ha ha ha ha." Because we had to sell that one to get the other one. You know, like they're just like, "No way." And the Lord, right then, our realtor calls and says that there's another house, exactly the floor plan we saw, but these are Christian people. Her husband already moved. They got to leave. They want to get out of the house. It was on a better lot. We walk in, and you know when you know that you know? It was like the Spirit of God hit me, and he was like, "This is your house." And I was like,
how are we going to do this?
So they gave us like $10,000 off the house. She gave us everything. She's a Christian. She's like, I'm so glad a Christian is going to have this house. And everything was still white. Now, I like to decorate. Everything was white, so it was like a blank canvas for me. I loved it. Now, I hate the carpet. I'm believing God for new carpet. So anyways, but I'm just so grateful. And I remember going through that experience and sitting there with the realtor, and she's like, now listen, nobody ever accepts these offers. This is nuts. You're asking for this. And I mean, I was asking for crazy things because I really was almost putting God on a test. Like, all right, if this is you, it'll go through, uh-huh. Like, and not kidding you. She's like, it'll take like a day. Why don't you guys go ahead and leave? I'm like, no, I'll sit here. I'll sit right here. I think it's going to come back soon. And Dan was just looking at me like, there was something called a gift of faith. There was an unusual faith on us. We had that gift at that moment. No joke, the phone rings. She goes, you got everything you wanted. And this has to be God because this never happens. And it was almost like I would have never moved. I would have never done. I was happy. I was content. I was in a good place. And God said, yes, but I have goodness for you, daughter. And you will never take yourself there, so I'm going to push you there. And because you love me, and I know you'll listen to me, and you have to do what I say, I know you'll get there. And you know what? That's where we are now. And God has just blessed us. It's been a great home for our children. And God has just done everything. We needed to modify. He brought us through modifications. I mean, it's like one miracle after another. And I just know this is just something that God is showing me his goodness through. What is God showing you his goodness through? Is it your kids? Is it a miracle that you've been believing for your children for so long? Don't give up on it. Because nothing is too big for our God. Once you've tasted his goodness, in Psalms 107:1, it says, thank the Lord because he is good. His love continues forever. I love that. Forever. Never ending. When you feel like he's gone, he's not. When you feel like the blessings have stopped, they haven't. Check yourself. Because it's not him that stopped. It must be you. James 1:17, every good and perfect thing comes from the Lord. I love that. Every good and perfect thing comes from the Lord. You know, it's so easy for us to say, oh, well, the devil did that. Oh, the devil, I'm going to cast a demon out of that doorknob. Listen, sometimes we give the devil too much credit for things. But if we could do it for the devil, why can't we do it for God? Every good and perfect thing comes from my God. You got a little, like, you went to Starbucks and somebody gave you a free drink. That was from God. You went shopping, hello, and you got a really good deal, 80% off, like, you know. That was from God. You went and you got your hair done, and the hairdresser said, I just want to bless you today. Oh, that was from God. No, I'm serious. Maybe your kids are acting good today. Hey, that was from God. Maybe your husband told you for the first time in years that you look pretty today. Hey, that was God talking through him. Amen, girl. Listen, let's give God the credit. Stop giving the enemy so much credit. You have, number three, you have surrendered the old man and you have become a new creation. Do you understand that? When something dies, what is it? Muerto. Dead. Gone. Ain't coming back. Never going to be alive again. But when that sin man, when that nasty girl you were, some of you were hoes in here. Mm-hmm. I ain't judging. I was too. So... Yes, if my dad says you all were whores, that was me. Come on. I put that off, though. And I put something new on. I put on a new creation in Christ. I am no longer me. I am a body. And I have a spirit. But my spirit loves my King. And my spirit longs to be with my Jesus. And those things that used to be are no longer, and they will never be. They will not return because the old is dead and I am alive in Christ. You see, girls, when Jesus went to the cross for you, the things you came in this room with were slain at that cross. You have resurrected it. Let it go. Because if you are a new creation in Christ, those things have died. And God is now in you, and he is going to work through you. He will give you the words to say. He will give you the heart that you need. Maybe you just need a new heart. You've been broken and broken and broken and broken. He says, listen, you're a new creation in me. Those things are old. I am new now. It's funny. I went to two high schools. I went to Yucaipa High School and I went to ACA. Now at ACA, I was bad, real bad, because mama and daddy sent me to private school. And I said, all right, you want to send me to private school? Take me away from my friends. I'm going to do everything you told me not to. And you're going to waste all the money you don't have. That was who I was, guys. And believe me, my daddy was just like me. So we were like, rah! My mom would be like, Jim, don't kill her. I just remember hearing, Jim, don't kill her. And it's so funny because I think about that old man and I run into people. I hate it when I run into people. And they're like, hey, we went to high school together. I'm like, crap. And I'm always thinking to myself, which one? So I'll ask them, which high school did we go to together? Because seriously, I cannot remember my old man. I cannot remember who was my friend then. I cannot remember those things that I did because I really believe that God allowed those things to die. Because I am no longer that person. I love when they go, oh, don't you remember how bad you were? No, actually, I don't. I know I was pretty bad, but I don't remember because God has saved me, restored me. So go ahead, ask me the questions. I'll get you saved. Listen, put off the old. Put off the old, guys. Quit living in the old. Live in the new. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on a new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. We think it's easy to serve God because we have put off the old, and we are a new creation in Christ. Number four, you've made it through the toughest moments in life because of God, and you got your faith not just to prove it. That is an easy reason to serve God. When you've been through some hard times, nothing can come your way because you know who your God is. You know where your victory lies. You know who's got your back. You've had your sword. I love Pammy. My best friend Robin was going through some things. Pam Espinoza, you know who, hello, conquered cancer, breast cancer, hallelujah. Conquered it. I love what she said to Robin. She said, listen, you might get tired. Never take off your boxing gloves. They might be at your side, but you keep them on because you may have to do a swing here and a swing there. Listen, you are more than a conqueror. Those moments of hell, you never take your gloves off. Never stop pulling your sword out. You never stop using your word. But listen, these are tools that when you love God, you know you have. You may say you love God, but you don't ever use your tools. Well, then, do you really know who God is? Because I know that I know that I know that I don't know how I would raise children without God. Because every day it's a faith walk. Every day it's a faith walk. Every day, no matter how hard it gets, when the drama has stopped, I can look at my children and see what God sees. How God needs their beautiful hearts. How God cherishes every personality, little character that they're giving me a challenge with. And I see how God is going to use it for the kingdom of God. And listen, that's how God sees us. He said, I've walked you through these times. I've taken you through these hells that, yes, life brings. But I'm bigger than those things. Look at Job. God restored back everything. Everything. If God can do it for him, he could do it for you. He's not a respecter of persons. He loves you more than you will ever, ever, ever be loved by any human being here in this world. You've gone through some tragedy, and you've made it through that tragedy, and so you know that you know that you know that you know who your God is. And that's why it's easy for you to serve him. Because to question God would never be something you'd even think about. Because he is sovereign, because he's faithful, because he redeemed you, because he restored you, because he walked you through hell and brought you out of hell, because he turned that hell around into heaven, and he has turned a testimony into your blessing. And listen, it's not over yet, guys. You keep serving him. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. You keep praising him through that victory. Marnie is here. Marnie, are you still here? Baby Judah, Pastor Joey and Marnie. What, 6 weeks now, huh? He's been in the hospital about 6 weeks? Five, six, seven. He was born with one of the arteries was on, both arteries were on. So much drama. So much drama with his heart. Seriously, you're like, how is this kid living? You know why? Because he has a strong heart. They said, well, why don't you give him a heart replacement? They said, no, he has a good heart. We can do all this change. It's a good heart. This little guy has been through three surgeries or two? Two surgeries, open heart surgeries. One of them, they had to leave him open because they wanted to make sure it was going to clot right. So he was open for like a week. Little baby. You know what his name is? Judah. Do you know what Judah means? Praise. And Marnie and Joey, I know them. They praised him through this whole thing. And little baby's going home soon on Monday, they're saying. Amen. What the devil means for bad, he's going to work overtime. Now, Marnie, keep your sword out, girl, because he always comes when you sing God's praises. But listen, he will never win. He tries. And we're stupid enough to let him win. He knows how it ends. He knows he loses in the end. But yet he's trying to get all of us that he can drag down with him. Don't be that girl. Don't be that girl. Make it easy to serve God because you just love him. He can say to his angels in heaven, oh, she loves me. She keeps my commandments. She loves me. She's always checking her heart, making sure she's not too prideful. Oh, she loves me. She was selfless today, and she gave of herself. Oh, she loves me because I asked her to do something hard, and she did it. Oh, she loves me because she's faithful to my house, because she serves me. Oh, she loves me because, boy, the enemy threw some hard things at her. Woo! She made it through, and she held my hand and allowed me and trusted me through it, and she got through it. Listen. That's why it's easy to serve God. Because we're not alone. But this world goes through so many things alone, and then they blame God. Because, remember, 95% of them believe God, that there's a God. But they don't know him. Keep believing. Keep serving. Keep checking yourself. And keep praying for those that are making the excuses that we talked about in the beginning.